98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. High wind fanning grass fires across south central Kansas. We have the story.
Vice President Harris delivers closing arguments. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Rain in today's forecast may bring some relief from dry, windy conditions that boosted several grass fires across south central Kansas Tuesday. Sedgwick County firefighters battled a blaze in the area of K-96 and 215th West. A Butler County grass fire burned over 200 acres near Douglas. Fire units from several agencies were called to assist in battling the blaze.
Vice President Harris pledging to put country above party and self in a closing argument in the campaign's closing days.
Next week's election is not just the choice between two candidates, Vice President Kamala Harris says.
It will probably be the most important vote you ever cast.
Harris's former President Trump would walk into the Oval Office with an enemies list. She'll walk in with a to-do list.
And I will work with everyone, Democrats, Republicans, and independents, to help Americans who are working hard and still struggling to get ahead.
And while Harris says she is honored to work as President Biden's vice president, her presidency will be different because the challenges we face are different. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Former President Trump campaigned in Allentown, Pennsylvania Tuesday, where he criticized Vice President Harris's record on illegal immigration.
Under Kamala, America is a sanctuary for criminal illegal aliens. It's what it is. These sanctuary cities are just unbelievable. They're sanctuaries for criminals, not anybody else.
The latest Fox News Power Rankings forecast the election to be a toss-up, with neither nominee having the 270 electoral votes required to win.
Police releasing the name of a Hutchinson woman killed in a crash in East Wichita Monday afternoon. 43-year-old Mandy Buckwalter died when a driver in a stolen van hit her car while driving near 29th and Webb Road. The 24-year-old woman who was driving the van remains hospitalized, and she'll be arrested when she's released.
Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News next week's national election will be massive. He says 17 new satellite voting sites opened up this week in the county, with more than 100 voting sites open on Election Day.
One of the things that we've worked on with our wonderful election commissioner, Laura Rainwater, who's really guided and led these efforts, is how do we expand access and reduce wait times? What we wanted to accomplish with her lead was we didn't want any polling place in Sedgwick County to have more than 5,000 registered voters assigned to it.
Beatty commented during his weekly visit with Steve and Ted in the Morning on KNSS.
We may now know the motivation for ballot box fires in Oregon and Washington.
The New York Post, which is owned by Fox News' parent company, learning that a note was found attached to the boxes, reading, "All drop boxes will burn. Free Gaza." The Post also says the incendiary devices had "Free Gaza" written on them. Most of the ballots in the Portland, Oregon fire were saved due to a fire suppression system, but not those in the box in neighboring Vancouver, Washington, where hundreds were destroyed. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock.
And we got a Football Hall of Famer big birthday today, so we'll get to that coming up in sports.
For the first time since before World War II, children in Iowa's capital city will go trick-or-treating on Halloween. That story and more coming up on the KNSS Morning News. The KNSS Morning News, 8:07 now, 7 minutes past 8 o'clock. Three people were injured in a rollover crash during a police chase near downtown Wichita Tuesday morning. Officers responded to the report of a kidnapping near Harry and Clifton. They located a vehicle on Kellogg near I-135 and attempted to pull it over. It drove away at a high rate of speed, crashed moments later at Kellogg and Washington. The car hit the ramp embankment and rolled. The driver and two passengers were hospitalized.
A babysitter in the Big Apple will soon be heading to the big house.
The owner of a New York City daycare center where a toddler died last September after ingesting fentanyl there has pleaded guilty to federal drug charges. Gray Mendez was charged with conspiracy to distribute narcotics resulting in death. Her husband sentenced to 45 years in prison on drug charges earlier this month. Mendez has also been charged in state court with murder, manslaughter, and assault. She's pleaded not guilty to those counts. She said in court Tuesday that this will haunt me for as long as I live. And that may include the rest of her life locked up, as a life sentence is on the table. The mandatory minimum is 20 years in prison. In New York, John Saucier, Fox News.
A funeral home owner in South Georgia is facing serious charges.
Chris Lee Johnson now faces 17 counts of abuse of a dead body after law enforcement found 18 bodies in various stages of decomposition at his funeral home in Douglas, Georgia, about 200 miles southeast of Atlanta. Local county sheriff's deputies asked for help after carrying out an eviction there. Records show that Johnson allegedly disregarded the proper storage of the bodies, which resulted in serious disfigurement of the remains. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation has taken over the case and says more charges will likely follow. During a Monday court hearing, a judge ruled that Johnson will be held in jail pending trial. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
For the first time since before World War II, youngsters in Iowa's capital city will go trick-or-treating on Halloween.
What has been commonplace across the U.S. on All Hallows Eve has not been in Des Moines. City leaders took a different approach over 80 years ago, having children don costumes on what's known as Beggar's Night, usually the day before Halloween. Besides screaming trick-or-treat, children are expected to tell a joke before getting candy. The idea was to tamp down on hooliganism and mischief. But this year, a bad weather forecast is forcing a delay of Beggar's Night to Thursday, Halloween. A city official says this is the first time the event has been moved since its establishment in 1938. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Traffic this morning. Things getting a little bit clearer. You can see on the Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras earlier where we had a traffic accident slowing things down eastbound on Kellogg. This was between Tyler and Mays Road. Things getting a little bit better there now. Not too bad, but we've got another traffic accident now, so watch out for this one. Northbound I-235, and it's up around K-96 in northwest Wichita. Watch out for that traffic update. From 98.7 to 1330 KNSS, I'm Jed Chambers.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
Need to make sure that we're being weather aware through our Wednesday. Strong to severe storms going to be possible, mainly later on this afternoon and as we head into the evening. The rest of the forecast, mainly cloudy sky, high of 75 degrees, a little bit cooler with a south breeze at 10 to 25 miles an hour. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
Now cloudy, a south wind gusting to 32 miles per hour, 71 degrees. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Hatman Jack's new fall line of hats has arrived. See why people from around the nation make Hatman Jack's their destination. Open Tuesday through Saturday at the Clock Tower in Delano. For the largest selection of Western hats, fedoras, and caps, see the experts at Hatman Jack's. Now we had another warm, windy day across South Central Kansas Tuesday. High temperature yesterday, 85, and normal high is 65. And we had a south wind gusting to 56 miles per hour at Eisenhower Airport. That's a good gust. A good gust. Mm. On this date in 1917, the low in Wichita was 14 degrees.
Yeesh.
And that's the coldest temperature ever recorded in our city for the month of October. And that was in 1917. That was during World War One. All right, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. And we're just now, what, less than a week till we... till Election Day, and the vice president was in D.C. at the Ellipse for his speech. Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern is with us this morning. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
Calling this a closing argument, it sounds like it's all over, but she's still got a few days to campaign, doesn't she?
Well, she got, yeah, and the vice president doing a three-state day today. She starts her day in Raleigh, North Carolina, has an event in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and then a big rally tonight with a bunch of musical acts at Madison, Wisconsin. I mean, listen, at this stage, the calendars tell the story, right? I think Both Harris and Trump are in North Carolina and Wisconsin today. I don't know, like, if we're going to see, like, you know, planes seeing each other on the tarmac, how close they're going to be. But yeah. Listen, I've been on campaigns where that happens, right?
This
comes down to a few states, and you got to hit them, and you got to, you know, see if you can get more attention than the other guy. And that's what the last 6 days here are going to look like. Now, you're right. What Harris did last night, the campaign called sort of a closing argument because it was a big national address. It was here on the Ellipse. It is a big area between the White House and the Washington Monument, sort of on the National Mall. It is where former President Trump rallied supporters at that Stop the Steal event right before the Capitol riot on January 6, 2021. That was by design. The Harris campaign wants to, in their words, close the book, turn the page on the Trump era. And that was the case Harris made yesterday, recalling, obviously, the time in office of former President Trump, but also trying to contrast that with a lot of her policy prescriptions and her philosophy as she laid out on kind of governing in kind of a much more open way. She said, you know, even if you don't agree with me, you're going to have a place at the table, trying to contrast that with some of the language she says you hear from former President Trump. So I think why they're calling that a closing argument is that's probably the last kind of major national type of address that the vice president gives here in the next 6 days. The rest is going to be a lot of these events, like I said, three states today. I think she's in three or four states tomorrow. And just kind of, you know, hitting those swing states. So those big seven states that we talk so much about, that's the strategy, certainly in the closing 6 days for former President Trump, as well as I said, he'll be in both Wisconsin and North Carolina today. So he was in Pennsylvania yesterday. I mean, if you live in those seven states, you know, you're the only folks that matter. I mean, you can just rip out the other 43 pages from your atlas, I guess, mm-hmm. for the next 6 days, because no one's going to be going there.
Well, these appearances, if what I'm seeing or imagining is it's going to be like going to a football pep rally every day.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot like, I mean, some of the events are a little different, right? I mean, I think you're going to see the big rallies. You also see, you know, these kind of more retail visits, as they call them, you know, going to the diners, going to the,
oh yeah,
you see Harris go to a lot of the manufacturing plants. And that's part of it too. But listen, you got to have the big events that gets people out. There were 75,000 people estimated on the Ellipse yesterday. Harris conceded that she was not sort of trying to convince them. She said, I imagine all of you have already voted early, but I'm talking to the Americans who have not yet decided to vote. And that was kind of the message yesterday, but it probably is an easier message to deliver when you have 75,000 people chanting your name.
The campaigns obviously believe that there's still some votes out there, still some undecideds, huh?
Listen, I think there are. And even not undecided, I think when we talk about undecided voters, what we oftentimes think about are they're waffling between the two candidates. I think what you are seeing develop right now is undecided voters deciding if they're going to become a voter at all.
Oh,
and that's who,
yeah,
that's who both of these campaigns are trying to target.
All right. Well, listen, thank you for appreciate your time this morning. Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern with us on the campaign trail. This is the 30th day of October. Of course, tomorrow is Halloween, and it was on this date in 1938, the radio play The War of the Worlds, starring Orson Welles, aired on the CBS radio network. And this is where America found out about this, I think, brilliant young man
mm-hmm.
named Orson Welles, who would go on to be, of course, Citizen Kane and all of a very lucrative career in film.
Yep.
But, yeah, it was just, it was a program made up to sound like Martians had invaded, what, New Jersey, Ted?
And it was so accurate that people thought it was real, and some people thought it was real, and they were frightened.
Yeah, there was
all kinds of, being attacked by Martians.
Like a panic was going on. And, when I was working at KFH, years ago, back in the 80s, they were a CBS affiliate, and every year at Halloween, we would put The War of the Worlds on the air and just run it for fun. And we got great response. People love it.
Well, of course. It's just a brilliant piece of radio.
Just love listening to it.
But, great part of our broadcast history.
War of the Worlds. Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS, coming up on 8:18 on a Wednesday morning, and it is time for a look at sports again with Ted Woodward, sir.
All right, we go with hoops. Start out, and we have an exhibition basketball last night in Manhattan and Lawrence. In Manhattan, Bramlage Coliseum, 9,500 fans on hand. Kansas State hosting Fort Hays State in an exhibition game, and you heard it last night on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Nice shake and bake move, but he had his pass deflected. Hawkins gets it ahead to Buddy Rich, and he will lay it up and in. Buddy Rich with an awkward catch. And I don't mean that he did anything wrong. It was just tough. And he sticks it, and it's a 9-point night for Buddy, and it's 56-42 Wildcats.
And layups are against his religion. He wants to get up and hammer it down.
It's a good way to say it.
A little awkward for him.
Yeah.
That would be the final margin, too, 14 points. K-State beat Fort Hays, 70-56 was the final score. Junior Brendan Hassan made 5 3-pointers for his 15 points. K-State has won 30 consecutive home exhibition games at Bramlage Coliseum. All right, over in Lawrence, we had the number one ranked team in the nation, Kansas, playing its second and final exhibition game before the regular season. KU hosting Washburn, and an easy win for the Jayhawks, 84-53. Senior Diggy Coit made 5 3-pointers on his way to 19 points as KU beats the Ichabods by 31 points, 84-53. The Jayhawks have won 56 consecutive exhibition games on home court in Allen Fieldhouse. We have a women's exhibition basketball game here in town tonight. Wichita State hosting Northeastern State in exhibition play. That'll tip off at 6 o'clock this evening in Coke Arena. Take a look at go over to baseball for a bit. Game 4 of the World Series last night in Yankee Stadium. The Yankees hosting the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Yankees had to win to keep their season alive, and see if they did.
After scoring just 7 times in the first 3 series games, the Yankees reached double digits with an 11-4 triumph over the Dodgers. Anthony Volpe gave New York the lead with a third-inning grand slam. Volpe became the youngest Yankee with a series slam since Mickey Mantle in 1953. Austin Wells connected with a 6th-inning solo shot. Gleyber Torres belted a 3-run blast in the 8th. Dodger slugger Freddie Freeman set an MLB record with home runs in 6 consecutive World Series games. Freeman also set a Dodger franchise mark with 10 RBIs in one fall classic. Game 5 is tonight in New York. LA leads 3-1. Bob Mortali, Fox News.
Go to pro basketball in the NBA last night. The Golden State Warriors win at home, beat the New Orleans Pelicans 124-106. The Pelicans were up by 20 points in this game before Golden State came roaring back. And who had a massive second half push for the Warriors? Buddy Hield, who played at Sunrise Christian Academy in Bel Air. The action on TNT.
On the side, good-looking Buddy Hield triple.
And with a hand slap from Stephen Curry. What a second half.
Hield three.
Why not? Why not?
19-point fourth quarter.
Yeah, how about that, Buddy? 7 3-pointers on the night on his way to 28 points for Buddy Hield. Golden State came from 20 points down and beat the Pelicans by 18 points, 124-106. Golden State is off to a 3-1 start on the season. Buddy Hield heating up there. And a big birthday today, former head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Dick Vermeil, is 88 years old today.
Wow.
Coached in the NFL for 15 seasons. His final stopping coach, final stop on his career was in the Kansas City Chiefs for 5 years. Of course, he won a Super Bowl title before that with the St. Louis Rams. Came out of retirement to coach the Chiefs starting in 2001. By his third year with the Chiefs, he got them their first division title and first time in the playoffs in 16 years. That was a team that went 113 games, but lost at Arrowhead to the Indianapolis Colts in the opening round of the playoffs. Vermeil never won a playoff game with the Chiefs. It only had one playoff game in 5 years, if you can believe that. Of course, you think of those Vermeil years where the Chiefs had this insanely good offense. They were scoring like 35 points a game, and they had this awful defense. It was giving up about 35 points a game. Those were high-scoring games back then. Of course, Dick Vermeil is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The former Kansas City Chiefs head coach, Dick Vermeil. Oh, by the way, a little trivia on Dick Vermeil. Bud Grant, former NFL head coach of the Vikings, passed away last year. That makes Dick Vermeil now the oldest Super Bowl coach still living. He and Super Bowl counterpart Tom Flores are the only living coaches from any of the first 16 Super Bowls. So, yeah, so he's the Vermeil is the oldest Super Bowl coach still alive at the age of 88. There you go. Dick Vermeil, happy birthday. He's 88 years old today. That is Sports with Steve and Ted.
Coming up the Hannity Morning Minute. Harris reaches out to anti-Trump Republicans. That's on the way with Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS.
Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward. 8:30 now and 71 degrees. Thousands of votes have already been cast in Kansas ahead of next week's general election. Lines have been long at early voting sites, with wait times of over an hour in some places. 17 additional polling places have been opened in Sedgwick County to shorten the wait times. There are no assigned polling locations if you vote early. As of Monday, more than 41,000 people in the county have already cast their ballots for the November 5th election. A school bond will be on the ballot for voters in Rose Hill. The nearly $20 million bond would address a lack of secure entrances at their schools and storm shelters in the district. Rose Hill Superintendent Chuck Lambert says they've learned from a rejected bond issue vote in 2022 to make sure this one passes.
I think one of the things that we've tried to do is this time focus on the safety and security as a big part of this project, which maybe wasn't as much last time. We've also tried to be as transparent as we can, trying to show exactly what it will do for our students, what it'll do to people's taxes, making sure we show all of that.
Lambert says all three shelters will be multi-purpose, and the one at the high school will have new weight and wrestling rooms. Firefighters have been busy recently battling wind-blown grass fires during a drought. Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News a recent fire at K96 and Webb in northeast Wichita had county officials worried.
As we were prepared in drafting an authorization to declare an emergency disaster because this thing was getting out of control quickly. And yet, Sedgwick County Fire, Wichita Fire Department, working together, as they do very frequently, we're able to put up a wall of defense and get this thing tamed down to where we're able to protect not just more land, but also homes and businesses in that area.
Beatty commented during his weekly visit with Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS. The U.S. Coast Guard has intercepted dozens of migrants.
It's happened three times over the past week in the waters off Puerto Rico. The Coast Guard nabbing the migrants on the high seas heading toward the United States. All were either shipped back to the Dominican Republic or turned over to the U.S. Border Patrol. The Coast Guard says the voyages are often dangerous on overcrowded and unsafe boats operated by human smugglers. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
Steve and Ted in the Morning, KNSS 849 here on this Wednesday morning. Three big things.
Three.
Windy, dry conditions boost grass fires across central Kansas.
Two.
Sedgwick County adds polling places. Thousands have already voted in Kansas.
One.
Harris delivers closing arguments in D.C. Trump campaigns in Pennsylvania. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Traffic this morning. Well, on the Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras, things are looking a little bit better on the highways right now. We do still have that water main break. This is reported at Pawnee and Delrose. Might want to avoid that. Delrose just west of Oliver there on Pawnee. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Cloudy with a 60% chance for rain today and a high of 76 degrees. 50% chance for rain tonight. Overnight low 42. And then Thursday, Halloween, sunny and cooler. Tomorrow's high, only 60 degrees. Now a cloudy sky, south wind gusting to 32 miles per hour. 71 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We had a mixed close on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow closing down 155 points. The NASDAQ was up 146 points. And the S&P was up 9 this morning. The Dow is trading up 21 points as we start today. S&P down by almost 10 points, and the NASDAQ is down by just about 42 points.
And local business news from the Wichita Business Journal. as the Boeing machinist strike on the West Coast continues to impact the air capital. A separate set of high-stakes contract talks between Wichita's Spirit Aerosystems and union-represented engineers have resumed. The Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace confirming negotiations between its Wichita Engineering Unit negotiating team and the major aviation supplier restarted on Monday, as expected. Current six-year agreement expires on December 1st. New deal would cover more than 1,000 engineers at Spirit's Wichita plant. 3 weeks ago, SPIA said that both sides had hit a chasm on key issues and agreed to pause negotiations for 3 weeks.
Hunter Health has completed the expansion of its main campus at Central and Grove in East Wichita, with plans to build a $9.6 million wellness center as the final phase of its campus plan. Amy Femer, CEO of the healthcare nonprofit, said the team is excited to move into the final phase of a three-phase plan to expand the space and resources for patients and employees. Construction on the Wichita nonprofit's first two phases of the project completed in July, which saw a 15,000-square-foot two-story addition to its current 22,000-square-foot clinic. It also turned the north end of the campus into parking with 75 additional stalls. A walking path for the community and staff was also added to the campus. And that's local business news this morning from the Wichita Business Journal. You know, newspaper owners across the country have been ditching presidential endorsements, figuring they shouldn't alienate readers with something most of them don't care about. Yet in following that trend, this past week, the Washington Post and Los Angeles Times found their readers cared very much. Thousands have canceled subscriptions, and journalists worry the fallout will lead to jobs lost. Over the years, Ted, as we've watched, as I've watched this endorsement thing, I'm not sure endorsements have meant a whole lot to the final outcome from newspapers or whoever. What's your experience?
It sure never meant a diddly to me.
Yeah, and but apparently these readers of the newspapers are, some of them anyway, they want to see an endorsement there. How okay. about that? All right.
They want to see an endorsement of the person that they want endorsed.
Yeah. So when they do get an endorsement, they're going to hate it or like it.
Right.
One or the other.
So you're alienating half of your clientele regardless.
So the newspaper editor
is
saying, why should we alienate him? It's just another sign of how divided we are as a country.
Mm-hmm.
We can't agree on anything. Today is National Publicist Day. PR people, okay? On this date in 1906, the New York Times printed verbatim the very first press release written by Ivy Lee, the father of modern PR. Lee represented the Pennsylvania Railroad. There had been a train wreck. He sent him the release, and the newspaper just printed it.
Yeah, yeah, well, it's good enough for us.
Good enough. Just throw it in there. We need it. So, National Publicist Day, PR. And there are people who, frankly, they do some good work. A lot of good work in helping to keep the public informed.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, if they are a public relations firm, they try to make it, how can I say it? Try to make the news look the best they can for their clients.
Yeah, for their client. Their clients.
So,
yeah. So but obviously, there's a slant there.
That's their job, right? How about that? Today is a big birthday for, you went over this a while ago, but Henry Winkler turning 79 today.
Ah, the Fonz.
Yeah. Widely known as Arthur Fonzie Fonzarelli on the sitcom Happy Days. The guy had a leather jacket on, rode a motorcycle, and he was, that's what it was, hip to be in the 1950s.
Right. Even though he was about 35 years old and he's hanging out with all these high school kids.
Yeah.
who were older than that anyway.
And they were all buttoned down collar guys.
He's wearing the leather jacket.
He was so
riding
cool.
a motorcycle.
I just don't remember anybody like that when I was in school who was that cool.
Fonz was cool.
The Fonz. He's 79, Henry Winkler. Glenn Beck program coming up on KNSS this morning. Bernie Moreno is going to be on. He is an Ohio State Senate. He's an Ohio Senate candidate, and he has something to share. News at the top of the hour. Grass fires keep firefighters busy across central Kansas. And if you missed any of today's show or just want to listen again, go to the free Odyssey app. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Glenn Beck, The Dana Lash Show, and news updates all day. Steve at 10 in the morning on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita.